Wow, good morning, everyone. Wow, this is what heaven is like, huh? Lots of puffy clouds and angels with wings. Actually, the Bible does refer to some angels as having wings. A heavenly sundial. Look at that. And there's Noah as well. Gates of gold. And what do you know? A stringed harp. And of course, a golden music stand. Hey, wait a minute. Did anyone ask permission from the church before they spray painted this music stand gold? I'm sure it's okay. If not, Terry, you're going to hear about it tomorrow. As well, we have choir risers and a fog machine. Never thought there'd be a fog machine in heaven. Of course, you all realize that this set is an artistic interpretation of heaven, right? Because the Bible does talk about heaven having walls of jasper, the city of gold, the foundations of the city walls being decorated with every kind of precious stone. And the great street of the city is of gold, the Bible says, as pure as transparent glass. I can't wait to see that one day. Now, we weren't in the middle of a building campaign trying to raise funds in order to finish our building project. We may have had the budget. We may have had the budget to line our stage with sapphire, emeralds, rubies, and pearls, and real gold. But we don't. We don't have the budget. And so we get lots of clouds instead. Lots of puffy, puffy clouds. But hey, didn't the set design team do an excellent job of the decorating? And the costumes, excellent costumes. And children, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that lively, that amazing presentation. May the Lord have used you to glorify Himself as you retell the Christmas story to us once again. Now, if we're to look at our world today, to observe what Christmas is about, to observe what Christmas has become, if we're to try and figure out the ABCs of Christmas, we'd say it's probably about advertisement. Having some trouble with this, actually. Or bargains, or Christmas cheer. It may be about Apple products. Boxing Day sales. Actually, I'm still having problems with this. And, or credit card debt. But the children's musical that we saw just now has reminded us that's not about that. The first Christmas was not about these things. It was never about these things. The first Christmas was about an announcement made by angels of the birth of a baby in Bethlehem. And that baby was Christ Jesus, born to us as a Savior. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says this, and I'm going to reread the Christmas story to us once again. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, Christ, the Lord. There will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So why was this announcement of the birth of Christ so important? Well, you see, God loves us so much, much more than we could ever imagine. And he wants to have a personal and intimate relationship with each and every one of us, with each and every one of you. Just like we want to have a close relationship with those that we care about and that we love. That's God's great desire. But the things that we've done wrong in our lives have separated us from God, the Bible says. It has created a barrier between us and God, a holy God, a righteous God. And the reason Jesus was born into the world was to show us his great love, yes, but also to remove the barrier that separates us from God so that our relationship with God could be restored, so that we can have peace with God and with each other. Jesus did this by taking upon himself the things that we've done wrong, by paying the price for us, by dying for us on the cross. That's the reason why we remember him and we give thanks to him during the Easter season. You see, imagine if this hand represents us. This hand represents us. And this book represents all the things that we've done wrong in our lives that separates us from God, that has caused a barrier between us and God. Imagine this other hand represents Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus has taken upon himself the iniquities of us all. That is, he's taken everything that we've ever done wrong, thought wrong, and said wrong, which separates us from God. He did this for us on the cross. And so where does that leave us? That leaves us to have an unhindered relationship with God. Our sins and our wrongdoings are no longer a barrier between us and God. That's the good news that the angels were announcing. The birth of a Savior, Jesus Christ, born to us on Christmas Day. You see, when we receive Jesus into our lives, we accept his great love for us. That is, in essence, what's happening. Jesus takes upon himself all the things that we've done wrong so that we can have a personal and intimate relationship with God, our loving Creator. At this time, I just want to give everyone here an opportunity here today to enter into that loving relationship with God, to receive Jesus into our lives, to bring to God the things that separate us from him to Jesus, to ask for his forgiveness, and to receive Jesus into our hearts and into our lives as our Savior and as our Lord. The Bible says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Let's pray, shall we? Dear God, we want to come before you here this morning. We acknowledge that you are the great and loving God who not only created us, but who also continues to love us even though we've gone our own way. Even though there's a great barrier that exists between us and you, Lord God, because of the things that we've done wrong in our lives, you did not leave us as we were, as we are. You continue to show your love to us by sending your Son to us. And so, God, I want to say a prayer here today for those who, maybe for the very first time, want to receive that great love from you, want to ask you to come into our lives in order to be the God who is our Savior, the one who saves us from ourselves. And so if this is your desire, I just invite you to say this prayer in your heart. Just say this prayer in your heart. Echo it in your heart as I pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for the great work that you've done for us. Thank you for your great love for us that you came into this world. And it is by your love that we respond to you this morning. We respond to your great love. We receive your great love into our lives. Forgive us, O Lord God, of the things that we've done wrong. But Lord God, we ask that you come now. Take away these things from us so that we can have that relationship with God once again in heaven. Come into our lives, Lord Jesus, and be our Savior. Be our Lord. We thank you again for this great and marvelous gift from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After this is over, I invite you to come forward. And if you have said that prayer, I want to give you some material in which you can start your relationship with God. I want to give you a Bible so you can start your walk with God. So I invite you, after the service is over, I'll meet you in this corner before you go. Thank you.